So, as you know.
Yeah. You go in over 50s, Jim. We all know that. I have to say, every time I go on Mick Miller's radio show, he always wants gossip on you.
Did you say I went to an over 50s gym?
I did after I'd gone off. And he's like, oh, why don't you tell me that off air? On air. He wants that. And he also said that you're currently training as a yoga instructor.
How's that got out? No, it's not yoga instructor. It's meditate. I'm teaching people how to meditate.
Okay.
Well, that's even more weird, isn't it?
In his world, that's the same thing.
Let's hit the streets as it words got out.
Well, it's just between him, me and you and now everyone else listening to this. You're teaching people to meditate. Well, no, I could do with a bit of meditation.
Okay, this is what you do.
Okay.
Just feel yourself sitting in the chair and just recognize your breath. You can feel it going in and out. Just recognize where you feel that breath is coming in and out of your nose. And you might be feeling all your muscles.
So you do this in a class or is it just a one-off session?
I pay a lot of money just to talk like that.
I know I always mention it, but Hughie meditates. Because I was speaking on the phone one day and we were talking about money and how much certain people take out of his door take. And he got very angry. And he goes, I've got to go meditate. That's like when you see a tram with his face on, I go, how much did that tram cost? I don't know how much it cost. I don't know. But he meditates.
Well, it's just mindful. It's just recognizing what crap you.
But how do you get rid of all the stuff in your head?
Well, you don't. You just recognize it.
Oh, you recognize it.
You just go, oh, okay, that's me thinking about. So then you know the crap that you're talking to yourself or you just get an objective. A little bit of space opens up rather than being caught in that. You go, oh, okay. So a little space opens up. It's like you're sitting in a cinema. You know the voice in your head. Imagine you're sitting in a cinema that's being projected up on the screen.
Yeah, right. Is this in your talk?
Well, this is in my new book.
How long does the talk go for? Like, how long does your class go for?
About an hour.
About an hour?
I don't – look, the gym owner takes – I answer questions. I don't take the class. And I change my name. I've changed my name.
Yeah, to Shrimnoi Shalaha. Do you – do you know about Shrimnoi? Who's that guy that they all follow? He's like a yoga meditation master. A guy
Ramdas.
No, a guy used to run a cafe near me. Shrimnoi. Oh, he used to put up posters and used to tour and stuff. And this guy was so stressed, but he always say, too easy. Yeah, too easy, man. And you could tell he was just bubbling underneath, full of rage and hatred.
It's very true.
Too easy, man.
Because you can sort of, you try to fake it till you make it, but you can still have a whole lot of crap going on.
So, right. So hang on. So you're like the grasshopper to the master, kind of.
Yes. Yeah. He does the class, and I kind of join in and chime in with my.
You're the sidekick.
Sidekick. And so.
Is this open to the public or only members of the gym?
Only you've got to be over 50, and you've got to have some issues.
And you've got to live in that area, probably. Or
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, we've all got issues.
There's a lot of issues.
It's a lot of issues, and they're all coming to the surface now because people have got their big screen TVs, they've got their houses, they've got their car, and they've got their things going. Except the Gen Ys, I'll never get into.
No, millennials. Millennials are going to be the poorest. Yeah,
but people are starting to think about stuff. Oh, look out! I'm starting to talk. Oh, wow. Oh God! Things are coming up.
But is that only people that have got time to think about stuff?
There you go. There's the problem. Yeah. If you're making money and just taking care of it, you just haven't got time to think about it.
Hey, I go and do gigs out in the. In the outer birds in the country, yeah. And they're not.
They're thinking about that stuff. They're thinking about paying the rent.
Day to day.
Yeah, just getting through the day. But at the end of the day, when they have got a bit of time to think, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they don't want to think.
Well, it's true. It's true. And a lot of them drink to get to sleep.
Or you buy stuff, or you eat, or you gamble. Because it just takes away that.
Is this all in the meditation talk?
All in the meditation. It's an 8-week thing. You can buy it on DVD or CD. And for an extra fee, I'll come around to your house.
One-on-one.
Yeah, do a one-on-one.
One-on-one.
I should have my own show on Channel 31 or something.
No, Channel 9, but on Saturdays, afternoons.
Oh, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, like a postcards kind of thing.
Guru Glenn.
Yeah, Guru Glenn. Yeah. You should be like Hugger Mama. Hugger Mama? Where all these people line up and hug this woman. And they all go, oh, it's an amazing experience. But it's in line with any of those amazing experiences. They make you wait for a very long time and you're all sleep deprived, hungry, thirsty.
So you need whatever they're going to give you. But I was at the airport the other day, got recognised by this family from Samoa. And they said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I got to say, the Samoans give good hugs.
Yeah, right.
It was a real. I was going, I hope she wants a hug.
I've only been in a headlock at a pub.
I'm a bouncer. A Samoan bouncer. But deep down, he would want to give you a hug.
Yeah. They're like peace-loving people, aren't they? Supposed to be the Samoans?
Well, yeah, all the islanders are just so happy. I was just in Bali.
That's right. You've been away.
I shouldn't. Bragging. We shouldn't. I'll talk about that another time. But I saw something very interesting. But I'll talk about it.
Oh, next time.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, here comes the music. Yeah. You probably didn't even get to talk about what you wanted to talk about.
No, I didn't. You made me talk about all the stuff that I didn't really want to talk about.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast. Sam said who we are.
Sam, Somehow Related with Sam, Dave O'Neill, Glenn Robbins. Two topics that you wouldn't think that are.
But they are related.
We're getting a lot of sent in, by the way. Thanks, everybody, who's sending them in. Lots of great people. It's good to hear that it's resonating with people.
Oh, I was on Nova the other day filling in for Sam Pang on that's Melbourne Nova, because he's work shy, as my father would say. And a guy rang up to. They have the thing where they ask Brownie questions. You know, Jonathan Brown, Brisbane Lions legend. Anyway, the guy goes, "Before I ask Jonathan a question, I just want to say, Dave, love your podcast with Glenn."
Well, there you go.
Brownie was a bit put out then. No, we'll ask Dave a question then, if you're a big fan.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get the topics. Here we go. Thanks, Sam.
Listerine and surgery.
You a fan of the mouthwash?
Well, I was a fan of mouthwash until Mark Mitchell, aka Con the Fruitero, said to me.
Couple of days.
He said, don't use it
for a couple of days.
Because everything he says has got a couple of days and beautiful in it. He said, I think, and hang on, what did he say? Was it that or was it eye drops? It was one of those things. If you start doing it too much, your body stops producing.
Oh, the natural stuff.
Yeah. Now, was it that? I know. Hang on. I'm getting very confused.
Oh, is it eye drops? Okay.
No, plus cleaning your ears. Because if you clean your ears too much, then they'll stop self-cleaning.
I've got no problems there. Do you often someone will say at a gig, you've got a big thing in your ear. Oh, my God.
But Listerine. Listerine.
It's very sharp taste, isn't it?
It's quite a cutting. But if you kind of get addicted to it, which is like, I really need my Listerine. Because you know the big problem is that there isn't a test for bad breath.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I know.
Well, unless no, that doesn't work. That does not work. It doesn't work. To blow into your own hand, so to speak.
So to speak,
And then this doesn't work. There's never been a time when I've had a bad breath, and realised I've had bad breath. Unless you've got, you can feel it in your mouth.
Or you've got a partner who tells you.
Yeah. And that's good.
I think when you wake up, you tend to have bad
breath. Oh, we all know we've got morning breath.
And then you just got to, I find eating an apple or brushing your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Listerine. I used Listerine when I had, must have been some dental procedure, and I had to use. Oh, man, I found it too full on. And then the guy said, you've got to do it every night for a month.
Oh, you had some issues with bacterial.
Yeah.
That bacterial buildup.
Oh, it's horrible. I couldn't keep it in for a long time. You know, the guy goes, you've got to leave it in for like 30 seconds or a minute.
You've got to swish it around. Yeah.
But, I think it was even a stronger thing than Listerine that I had.
Because I've had a sore throat lately. And Listerine's not bad if you gargle with it when you've got a sore throat.
Really?
Yeah. But the best is salt.
Salt and water.
See, just gargle with the salt. But there must be a natural way. Am I wrong in saying that?
Did cavemen have bad breath? They must have had bad breath.
Oh, imagine
their teeth would be rotten too.
Imagine caveman first thing in the morning. Oh. I'm going out to catch a saber tooth. Oh, while you're there, go down to the river and sluice your mouth out. It's disgusting.
Some mint leaves.
Yeah. What is it? What's the?
Would you tell me if I had bad breath? It's a very hard thing to approach, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Just text me.
You know the tip?
What's it?
It's the second shake. I've got a tin of mints. Would you like a mint? And then Dave says, no, thanks. And I go, I give it a shake. If I give it the second shake, then you know that's code for, have I got bad breath?
Well, I'm a big fan of Chewy, so.
You're a big Chewy guy. Do you do that purely in terms of your breath, or is it?
No.
Because I've said on this podcast before, why you do it.
I love chewing.
It's your, no, really, it's your brain.
Oh, yeah.
It's your tongue getting pointed, ready for the breast. So
I'm missing the breast.
It's on the hard drive that when your tongue gets pointed, that you're very focused on something.
I'm substituting breasts with chewy. I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah, that's why Ricky Ponting always chewing.
Really?
Always chewing. It means you're concentrating. All these guys that are chewing.
Yeah, as you said before, sticking your tongue out. I do that too sometimes.
Like when you're trying to do something, you poke your tongue out. That's getting ready for the breast.
Oh, man, what was I doing the other day? And I was really poking my tongue out. Was I fixing the washing machine or something like that? Something manual. It's very hard to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're down the supermarket and someone says, what are you sticking your tongue out for? And you go, I'm just getting ready for the breast. It doesn't go down well. You got to actually
in
say.
In the queue, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the mums at school. What?
Yeah. But having said all of that, of all the things that make someone... You don't want to be around them.
Oh, okay, let's go. Them. Body odour.
Body odour, that's, yep.
Bad breath.
Bad breath. What about, greasy hair's not bad.
I don't mind greasy hair.
No, I don't mind greasy. You don't want to wash your hair.
I'm a fan of greasy hair.
What about oily skin? I don't mind oily skin.
Acne, fair enough. I think more people that just talk about themselves constantly too.
That's hard. Oh. Yeah, loud talkers and close talkers.
Oh.
You know,
I think bad breath's up there, though.
I think my bad breath would be number one. I did a television show. I won't say which one. Okay.
Oh, don't worry. The director?
I don't say who it was.
No, you've told us this story before on here.
I know. I did one of those magazine shows.
Oh.
And, you know, like Burke's Backyard, one of those. Oh, Don Burke.
Don Burke.
And she had the worst breath. And now whenever I see her on TV.
Oh, you think?
That's all I think about. Think about, she's the one with the bad breath. She's labelled with the bad breath. So you sort of, you go, oh, imagine if you're in an office, right?
Yeah.
And Keith, who you see up the copier, when you go up the copy, pick up your copies.
Got bad breath.
That's all you think about. You go, is Keith with a bad breath?
Yeah, you don't want to be labelled that guy.
No.
But there always was a guy like that.
There was always a guy with bad breath.
Terrible.
You know.
You'd think their spouse or their parents or brother or.
What would you, maybe, I don't know.
It's hard to broach, but I think, you know.
When you've had a couple of.
What about nostril hair? How do you feel about nostril hair? Because now my eyes, I can't see. And then when I put my glasses on in the mirror, I'm like, oh, my God. I've got like a forest in there sometimes.
Well, you know that there are trimmers.
Yeah, I know.
And
I used to have one.
Once you get one, you can't stop.
Yeah, but I like pulling the hair and you get that sudden shock. That, oh.
Oh, so you're a bit of a masochist when it comes to nose hair.
I think so.
Does it make your eyes water?
Yeah.
That's a trick to if you want to cry in an acting scene.
Pull a nose hair. Because the thing is, right, there we go. Is that in your talk? The thing is, once you pull it, they won't grow back. Well, it could grow back. But if you're just trimming, they'll grow back.
Oh.
Won't they? They'll grow back.
You reckon if you pluck, they never come back?
No, they do come back, but the same hair won't come back because you've plucked it out.
Oh, geez.
Anyway, great tips. Beauty tips.
Yeah,
beauty
tips. How about ear hair? See, I have a friend of mine. He has really long ones growing out his earlobe, and you go... Do I say anything?
Well, sometimes you can't see them. So when I go to the hairdresser, he goes, oh, I won't mention this, and he cuts some hair off my ear. I'm like, I don't even see it.
Yeah, I know. But see, what you don't see, does it matter? I don't think it does. And when you see really old people and they've got hair just all over the joint, you're going, I'd love to get in there with it. And let your partner get in there with a set of shears. They love it. It's like, you know.
Yeah, they do.
A job well done.
They enjoy it.
But, yeah, I used to have a director who had bad breath and – he would give you the direction for the scene and you couldn't listen.
Yeah, it's too much bad breath.
And it would be coming from an unhealthy gut. And can I say, I've been seeing a naturopath and my gut's been very good lately.
Your gut's good?
Have I told you that I'm doing lemon every morning, three times a day, lemon and water?
What's that for?
Helps your digestion.
Really?
I'm taking digestive tablets and I'm having my flora restructured. I'm putting some...
What?
My flora was damaged.
What's flora?
Your stomach flora.
How does a naturopath know that?
Do you really want to know?
Do they? Oh, they do a sample. Yeah. They do a sample. They get a sample. Yeah. They send it away.
Yeah.
A stool sample.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she said, "Now we'll look at your stool sample." I said, "Can you just shorten that up to
sample?
Just go with sample because we all know what it is.
We're both over 50. Have you done the poo test?
Oh, I've done it a few times. There's a fun morning.
Great day out.
There's a great day out.
Come on, kids, have a look.
Yeah.
That paper.
And by the way, see what I've just put in the fridge. Don't mix it up for a condiment. Don't put that on toast.
That's not Nutella. So yeah, no,
cost me $300 because it wasn't a government one. $300. Mind you, how much? If I had to check your shit, I'd be charging you more than.
Oh yeah, God, bucks. Yeah, imagine that job.
God, that's a terrible job. You would have to. You'd have to have something. You have to have a peg on your nose, a peg on a mask.
But you'd be surprised how many people don't do that test, the one the government's.
I know because it's almost like you have an option. Just throw the thing in there. But you're crazy. I think more people die from them from more that men. Than they do the skin cancer and prostate and. Yeah. But it's
and
not
if
a
you
fun
find
though.
The symptoms early, you can.
If you got your polyps, have you got polyps?
No.
If you've got polyps, then you need to regularly.
I've got some in the front yard. I don't know. No polyps. Well, Listerine. I don't know more what we can say about mouthwash. I think it's must be an American thing because you see it a lot in American movies and TV shows. Well, I don't think it's a very Australian thing to have mouthwash. Do you think it's a very?
No, I hear what you're saying.
I think it's more American.
Yeah.
Is it British?
What would be, what's the word derivative of? Listerine. That's not a person's name.
I just keep thinking of that song, Installerine, but that's
Reen.
That's Reen. That's plumbing. Installerine.
Yeah.
Because you see it in movies, before they go to bed, they'll do their mouthwash.
Well, if you're about to make love.
Feel like making love.
Do you clean your teeth?
Well, you should, I suppose, yeah.
What do you do? Because you don't want to be...
Unless there's no kissing, There's rules set down by the person. No kissing. Hang on, where are you?
I'll do anything, but no intimacy, just the kissing. Let's just keep it downstairs, okay?
Mouthwash, interesting. Listerine. Oh, no, Listerine's just a brand.
It's a brand. Listerine.
Listerine. So I don't know where it's not someone's name.
Lister
is
like luster. Lister. Geez, we're not getting much here.
All right, well, let's go to surgery.
Surgery.
I mean, we're in our 50s.
When was the last time you had surgery?
Ooh. My leg, my broken leg. Oh, I had a vasectomy.
Is that a general for vasectomy?
Yeah, you get knocked out. Well, you don't have to, but I did. I don't know.
They can give you a...
I think you can just do it in the chair if you want, but if you... Yeah, I don't know. I got a referral to a guy and he...
And you went out for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a day procedure.
They give it a cut and put two double knots on either end and then... Mm. Yeah, and then...
As I say in my stand-up, the doctor explained it and he said, I cut your tube and then I fuse it with a hot instrument and so there's nowhere for anything to go. So your stuff just stays there now. So I always say, you think I'm fat, girls. This isn't fat. Hey,
it's like a bank account. It just builds up, doesn't it?
It just builds up.
So you got lots of sperms.
Oh, it's so much to give.
Sperm everywhere.
So much to give.
Oh, you just got the little fish.
Yeah, I don't know how it actually works.
Because doesn't
the ones that come out aren't potent anymore. They're not potent anymore.
The swimmers come out and they're going, what are you doing? I don't know, I'm just swimming.
I'm amazed. Like say someone, I don't want, like my brother, for example, all my brothers, they haven't had one. And yet you'd think at a certain age you just... would have one just so you don't get anyone, you don't get your partner pregnant again. Then again, I suppose all their partners are beyond that stage now, but still.
A friend of mine had one. He said, in the afternoon, he just felt like licking himself and falling asleep in front of the fire. Which is, you've got to admit, poor old dogs.
Yeah, they cop it.
They're going,
spayed, or the
they, go,
spayed.
They go down there, they lick in their balls, and then they go, what happened? Hey, Rover, what? What happened? What do you mean? I'm looking around the back end. There's nothing there.
Oh, yeah.
We went out for a drive. Let me just go through it.
Went to the vet.
Oh, I had a lovely sleep. It's beautiful.
Woke up a bit sore.
Had something to eat. And I went to lick myself, and they're gone.
My brother still maintains that he it's one of the reasons he won't get one. He went around to one of his friend's house, and his dad was sitting on the couch with a bag of peas between his legs, screaming, going, ah! What's wrong with your dad? I just had a vasectomy.
Oh, I would imagine.
But that's a long... That'll be the 70s, I reckon. So I think things have improved. 70s
vasectomies, yeah.
But like surgery, I hate the... I don't mind getting knocked out.
I like the pre-med. That's a great injection.
Yeah, when he goes, I'll just talk going, to you and...
No, meaning they give you a little injection before they give you the... Yeah, it's like a relaxing one. And you just go, I love everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, how you doing? I'm doing really well.
And then the anesthetist comes and leans in. He goes, all right, I'll count to 10 and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you get to 98. Oh, count backwards from 100.
I love the way when I broke my leg, they drew a big arrow on the broken one.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, because they make mistakes, he said.
Who was the comedian that had the wrong... He had the wrong valve done in his heart?
Oh, really?
Martin Short? Was it the other one? Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey.
Had an operation where they did the wrong one.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no.
God, imagine that. How did it go? Operation went well. Yep. But one minor problem. What's that?
One small thing.
We did the wrong one.
Well, they leave a bit of steel wool in your insides. But I don't like the bit where you wake up.
Well, I woke up midway through an operation. It's terrible. And I woke up, I could feel, and my hand came up, and I tried to grab the thing going down my throat. And I heard them saying, "He's waking up, he's waking up. Put your clothes back on." he's waking up. And then I would have woken up for like 5 seconds or something. But it was very distressing. So when I got my colonoscopy, I said, last time this happened, I woke up anyway. You won't wake up. But the colonoscopy was gone, half an hour, bang. But what's scary about it is that you are dead.
Yeah.
Because you go, when you sleep, you go, I went down, I went to this place, and I came back the other side. Mm. With the anesthetic, you go, I close my eyes, I open my eyes, no time has, you know.
It's bizarre. Yeah, colonoscopy, I've had one of those and they knock you out, don't they?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. And then, what's the old joke? No, they didn't hear from the doctor, no card, no flowers. Nothing. I just remember when I had my colonoscopy, it was an Asian doctor, and I'm just lying there coming through, and the nurse said, oh, the doctor will give you a bit of feedback on your colonoscopy. I'm just lying there, and he just yelled out from the doorway, you're fine! Nothing wrong! That was it. You're fine, nothing wrong! I just walked out from the doorway. Well, that's good to hear, isn't it?
Thing about surgeons, they can be a little bit blunt. What is it about surgeons and bow ties?
No, that's the old, again, not an old joke, but an old myth about gynecologists and obstetricians wearing bow ties because the tie could, you know,
fall into
areas. Oh. Yeah, that's why they wear it. Because when I see a guy with a bow tie on at a gig, I go, you're
a surgeon.
You're a surgeon, are you, mate?
And he would be.
So that's the myth. I don't know if that's true, but that's and because they throw it over their shoulder, don't they?
But you got to realize what you are actually looking like. You're looking like a card sharp or something.
I know. And I did a gig for surgeons.
Oh, that would have been hard.
I know they were good.
were they good?
Well, they're all
because they have a pretty bleak view of in some ways because they're dealing with life and death every day, so they have to see the lighter side of it.
Yeah, no, because they didn't like the specialists or something. They kept saying, make sure you hang shit on those guys, the specialists over there. They've all got Asperger's. Asperger's. But they have a real – one of them – when I walked in, there was a guy playing a viola, and he was a surgeon. So he was playing – there was a few of them playing instruments.
Yeah, but they have the sort of mind that needs to be occupied. Like, so they'll go home and do needlework and
there's a whole orchestra of doctors and surgeons.
Yeah, they're good at puzzles and lots of stuff. They can't just sit with their own thoughts. Imagine that, though. Imagine that you've come out of school and that's your skill. I can get a knife and cut you open.
It's a bizarre, but you know,
and put you back together again.
Well, okay, so there's a few surgeons at school.
You're gone.
And they're not brain surgeons or they're osteosurgeons.
This is where your kids go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They're at Geelong Grammar.
Yeah.
it's a state school. Anyway, but they just do there's a woman. Oh, what's her name? Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter what her name is, but she does. She just goes, I don't do anything in the head or the body. I just do legs and arms. So then I think you call an osteosurgeon. And she said it's like being a carpenter.
That's what I saw a renal physician. Is it renal? One that checks your – and he said, I'm a plumber. If the plumbing's not working, I fix up the plumbing in your downstairs department.
Oh, so, that's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, because if the pipes aren't joining up properly, I'll fix them up properly.
I said to this guy the other day at a gig, and it was in an area that's become well-to-do, you know what I mean? Yeah. I said, and he was wearing gentrified. Like a T-shirt, and I said, are you a tradie? He goes, kind of. He was a surgeon.
Yeah.
He goes, I am sort of like a tradie. So, yeah, he was, another bone surgeon. Because when I broke my leg... the doctor, Peter Gard, the name of the surgeon was, he was a good guy. He showed me the surgery kit because every operation they get a new surgery kit sterilized. And he opened it up and had a saw, a hammer. It was like a kid's play thing.
So you have a, for that sort of operation?
Yeah, a saw, a hammer, pliers.
It's like a Meccano set.
Yeah.
For, you know.
But when you see surgery, have you seen surgery on TV in the heart or the gut or anything? It's like the butcher shop. It's just like blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how they do it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
I watched that show, Botched.
Oh, yeah. Not Bosch.
Oh, but what about that show where they turn up with a caravan in the middle of nowhere and people come in and show their testicles?
Oh, yeah. About embarrassing bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I know, I'm embarrassed about this, so I'll put it on national television. I don't.
It's terrible.
I don't. I mean, if I had a rash, I'd.
George, are you talking about Bosch or Botched? Did you watch Bosch, the detective show?
Oh.
The LA detective?
Oh, that's Botched.
That's on SBS.
Botched with the two American guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, okay. Anyway. So.
Bosch. Okay, surgery. So how many, I mean, you know, you'd. I went through life without having surgery, and then I got to my 40s. I think I had about four in a row. I had a knee done. I broke my leg, which was a stupid accident. I had a colonoscopy. I had a.
You're just getting older.
Vasectomy. That's four.
I had a lot of injuries when I was young. I hit the road. I broke things. Broke heads. Broke teeth. Broke fingers. Broke arms. Broke. Anyway. We all go through that. We all, you know.
We all come through.
You all come through.
My kids touch wood. I know my daughter's had surgery for a
Well, we used to climb trees and fall out of them.
The kids don't
climb trees anymore.
You can't fall off a screen.
I was driving down the road the other day, and there was a kid. He wanted to climb a tree, but he was a bit fat. So he just climbed a little tree. And you could see the tree going, hey, you're too fat for me. The tree was going, oh, no. It was like a shrub. He's just sitting in the middle of the shrub. You go, mate, pick a big tree, you little fat thing.
Kids still love doing that stuff.
So.
All right, well, I think we've. We haven't worked out
anything. I've got an inkling.
You got a bit of a feeling. I've got an inkling.
Now, I'm going to suggest for thinking music.
Yeah.
Do you know a TV show called Big Train?
I love Big Train. It's a sketch show.
I reckon it's one of the greatest sketch shows ever made.
It was a sketch show that changed the way sketch shows were done because they had long form sketch. No laugh. Oh, they did have a laugh track.
I think they might have.
I think they did have a laugh. And it was Graham Lynham, the guy from Father Ted.
Simon Pegg. Yeah. Great performances.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. There's a sketch in that.
They did the one about, you know, masturbating in the office.
Anyway. There's a surgery sketch in that I thought we could play.
Oh, is it?
And it's the one where the guy's doing the open heart surgery and he's having a bit of a problem, so he goes and rings his surgeon mate just outside the surgery.
That's funny.
So you can see that he's on the phone and the problem is it's one of those phone calls that the guy on the other end won't wrap up.
Oh yeah,
and the patient is slowly dying on the table as he tries. Yeah, so right, it's very much. I've just got. Yep, and eventually, but it's not a great one for a podcast because you can't see. But eventually, the person does die because he keeps him on the phone for too long.
Oh, that'll be all right.
Can we? I've talked to the ending, but anyway, it's a great. It's just a really good performance to have a listen to.
Let's have a listen.
Have a listen.
Hi, Bob. It's Peter here. Hi. Yeah, look, I'm just doing a routine exploratory on Mrs. Brooks, and I've noticed that she's got a rather sticky aortic valve, and I was a little worried. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, great. No, that's fantastic. Fantastic. That's exactly what I needed to know. Brilliant. Okay, super. All right, I'll see you in... Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. No, I wanted to be sure, and, you know. All right, brilliant. I'll see you on the... Yeah. Well, no, you were the... Yeah. Okay. Okay, right. Let me... Okay, I'm... Bye-bye. Bye-bye. No. Right. Okay. No. Right, yes. She's... she's dead, I think. She's dead. She's gone. Lost her. So, no, I can talk now. That's fine. Did you... Well, I was wondering, but okay. Well, okay.
There you go. Glenn, very funny stuff.
It's great, isn't it? That is a classic performance. Simon Pegg. I interviewed Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I've interviewed him on the phone once. He's Apple's godfather, Gwyneth and Chris Martin's kid's godfather.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He was one of those guys, though, that went serious. So he used to be a lot of fun, I reckon. Now he's just quite serious.
Oh, I saw him in Mission Impossible. I thought he was...
he's good in that. Yeah. But in interviews, he's quite serious, I think. I mean, what he's done is incredible. I loved his sitcom, Spaced. You ever seen Spaced?
I haven't, no.
No, it's a very good sequel.
But he's done a lot of great work. But he actually brought humour into Mission Impossible. That's the degree of difficulty, yeah, 9.5, to make that lighthearted.
And you're right. I'll take it all back.
Yeah.
I just mean interviews, but I like his fat mate. He's very good too.
Yeah, what is his name?
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Listerine
surgery. What do you reckon?
Well, I remember that superglue was invented
in the Vietnam War.
Vietnam War to put in wounds to close them up very quickly because as soon as it grabbed it, I'm thinking that Listerine was probably invented as some sort of portable bacterial washout that you would do for a wound. Like in the war. Yeah. So you've always got to. And then they kind of had it and they went, oh, this is good for bacteria. And then they've gone, well, maybe we should, you know, put this out commercially. And they've discovered that something that is just a hand, like a body wash or a wound wash, ends up being a throat wash.
Who's the first person to drink it, though, you reckon?
What happens? There is a. Hey, you know, here's an interesting thing.
Who's the first person to
drink it? I should have mentioned this. That if you're on zero for your license,
yeah,
can't have Listerine.
Oh.
Because there is a trace of alcohol in there.
Sorry, officer, I just did a mouthwash. Yeah, righty-o. Yeah. Out of the car.
Had a lot of mouthwash, didn't you? How many mouthwashes did you? Oh, about eight.
Well, I think the connection is that I reckon there's a surgeon called Listerine, Dr. Lister, and this was his side project. And so he was doing all his surgery and stuff, but then he developed Listerine. And that became a big product.
So you reckon
the connection is just a surgeon.
A surgeon came up with a breath freshener.
Yeah. All right. Shall we get the answer?
Okay.
Listerine was invented in the 19th century as powerful surgical antiseptic. Joseph Lister, 1st Baron Lister, known between 1883 and 1897 as Sir Joseph Lister, was a British surgeon and a pioneer of antiseptic surgery. Listerine was named by its creator Joseph Lawrence in honour of Sir Joseph Lister, the pioneering surgeon.
Ah, so we were both,
we're both sort of
both
right
on track.
I can't believe there's a Dr. Lister who Listerine's named after. I love
if
that.
You, if your name was Dr. Lister.
Dr. Lister. Dr. Lister, we'll see you now. Oh
dear.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So, if you want to make your name into something, what do you there's prefix and there's suffix, isn't there?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So you got to put something on the end of the word.
Oh, Listerine.
So you go. I don't want.
Lister.
I can't call it Lister Liquid or Lister. I've got to call it Listerine.
Yeah, interesting that you put that on the end. Well, it's like fanzine or something like that.
Well, let's just say you invented something.
O'Neilline.
No. What would you call it? Let's just say you came up with a new type of soap.
Yeah. O'Neilope. Robinope. Robinine. Nah, see, we don't have good names for it. But Listerine. That was a great choice, that Dr. Listerine. May. Listerine.
Yeah.
Dr. Lister.
So, you put it on and you wash things.
Imagine that guy, though. He did all that surgery and all that amazing stuff, but now everyone would just say to his great-grandkids, Lister, are you? Yeah, that was bloody great-granddad. But he did a lot of other good stuff, but he inspired Listerine.
That was a sketch that I nearly wrote. I wish I'd written that sketch, which was a group of people going out for dinner with the guy who invented the Heimlich move.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So before he comes, everyone's sitting around and go, Jerry Heimlich's coming tonight. What's the big deal? Don't you know? What? He invented the Heimlich move. And if someone's choking, don't choke on anything because he'll jump the table and start squeezing you really hard, okay? Because he likes to show off his new move, all right?
Well, what's that? Was that a true story or a joke where the guy goes to the doctor and he goes, you got good news and bad news? And he goes, bad news is you've got a disease we've never seen before. Good news is you're going to have a disease named after you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that an old joke?
The joke is, bad news is you're going to die. The good news is you're going to have a disease named after you. Yeah.
Like the Lou Gehrig disease or something like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, you know, the baseball player, you know, the Lou.
I didn't know about that disease.
Yeah, it's Lou Gehrig disease.
Oh.
You know, Sam, what's... Yeah, Sam. Hang on, I'll find out from Sam. Sam, what's the Lou Gehrig disease? Oh, maybe I've got it wrong. It's a baseball player in America.
It's called Lou Gehrig's disease after Lou Gehrig, a Hall of Fame baseball player for the New York Yankees who was diagnosed with ALS in the 1930s. A nervous system disease that weakens muscles and impacts physical function.
That's his legacy.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had a disease called Dave O'Neill. Oh, have you heard about Tony? What? Oh, he's got Dave O'Neill. Dave O'Neill-itis. What happens? Oh, you eat.
It's terrible.
You get it from eating too many banana smoothies, milkshakes.
Yum.
There you go.
I haven't had a banana milkshake for a while. Oh, I've been missing it. I was really craving dim sims the other day. I hadn't had one for months, and I had one, and it wasn't that good.
I was talking about this the other day. What is a standard sitting for a dim sims? How many in a standard sitting?
Oh, two.
This is what I said. Two. They were vehemently saying it's three.
Who's saying this?
Some people I work with.
Oh.
Three.
Fat? Are they fatter than me?
No, but they love their food. And they're going, oh, they're all going, no, three.
Three? No, it's two.
It's two. I mean, obviously not the big ones.
No,
the standard issue ones that you get.
Yeah, two.
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 Two is standard issue. Three is like way too many.
Give me their numbers. I'll ring them now. Set them straight.
How dare you?
How fat are you? You don't know what you're talking
about. How many donuts in a sitting?
Oh, one or two. But I know, so, like Lawrence Mooney talks about how he has to eat like six.
I've heard him say that too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a special day though, where he just goes and like Homer Simpson. Yeah, just standard issue though is a very interesting phenomenon.
Oh yeah, too. I mean, how many potato cakes would you have if you got fish and chips? Just as one. Yeah, same here.
How many party pies at a wake?
I had at a wake.
Because that's where I normally have party pies.
I had party pies the other night. I was at a footy club. I had two.
See, I reckon two is standard issue. I reckon three, you're tipping the edge. But some people will go four.
Yeah.
Pieces of cake, one.
This fat guy said, I just had six.
See, you're gonna regret it the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pieces of cake, one. But sometimes at home, we get a whole cake.
Yeah.
And then, you know where we buy cakes from? And you'd know this place because you surf down the coast. Freshwater Creek.
Cakes. Yes.
They have great cakes.
They do have good cakes. But the staff there look like they don't want to be working there.
No, I know. They're not happy, are they?
Yeah, you're serving people cakes. You should
be jolly and happy.
You're going, here's a cake for you, my friend.
Oh, that's good to hear because I just thought they were just...
No, they were doing me a favour by giving me a cake. I'm going, hang on, it's just a bit of, banana bread.
They have great... Oh, you're going to get the sponge cake.
Hey, while we're at it, what is so special about banana bread when they sell it at the superstar... The service station, it's $4 a slice.
Yeah, that's expensive. And it's not bread, it's cake. That's banana bread. Cake.
So muffins the same, yeah?
Yeah, that's cake.
So anything that crosses over into cake is special.
It's cake. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Well, it takes a bit of effort.
No, it doesn't.
You made banana bread?
But it's a whole... If it, one muffin, okay, what's one muffin? $4.50?
Yeah, that'll take about 40 cents to make.
Yeah.
I reckon, if that.
But banana bread needs to get over itself.
Yeah, banana bread. You know, banana bread's only good when you have that frosted icing on it anyway, cream cheese icing.
Oh, no, I like it. Banana bread heated up with a bit of butter.
Ooh.
I was in Bali. We just had we had apple bread.
Oh, apple bread.
I have never had it before.
No.
And we were stealing it.
Wow.
Selena was putting it under a hat and we took it back to the room. It was a buffet, unbelievable buffet.
Ugh.
Take the banana bread back for a late night snack anyway.
Oh, I'm getting hungry. Yeah. Late night snack of banana apple bread.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.